and we talked about parental debt, and we talked about the so-called generational debt, and now we're going to talk about self-image debt. If you think about it, the image of yourself only comes from comparison. If you were totally alone, you would have absolutely no one to compare yourself, and so you wouldn't have the capacity to know that you should be any different than you are. Now, when it says not to be conformed to this world, then this is the seminal point. When we begin comparing, then we desperately try to find something that we can say a positive about us. But the negatives about us are legion. No matter who you are, no matter how you might be Miss America or Mr. Universe, but the more you look at yourself, the more you will find wrong. Now, this is why we must begin to confess the Lord Jesus. We must speak the same thing, but before we can speak the same thing, we have to hear the same thing so that we can see the same thing. And if you could see as he sees, you would find out that all of a sudden you have no basis of comparison for anything. Because you're made to be exactly as you are in order that you might fit into this mystery of the body of Christ. And so any self-image that you have of yourself is the fundamental evil of yourself.
It's the beginning of rebellion.
It is the totality of delusion. He has deceived the whole world. Now, you know, it's endless. I'm too skinny, I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too this, I'm too that. I can't sing, I can't, it's absolutely ridiculous in the body of Christ. What? You're doing it, Gary.
I'm listening real hard. I was getting a haircut yesterday, and my haircut lady, kind of overweight, and so, but she was in love with her image. She couldn't take her eyes off herself. Every time I saw her, she was looking in the mirror, flirting with herself. Kind of a preparation for this meeting. Because I would never do that.
Now we can go the naturalist basis and talk about all the reasons that you are concerned about self-image with regard to, well, it's the survival of the fittest and you, da-di-da-di-da, you know, all that other crap. But that's all gone at the cross. Why do you give one hoot about what your self-image is? Any self-image. You know, it consumes the human race. And it's not just now when we have all these, you know, it's always consumed the human race. And it is the height of deception.
Isn't self-image about how we look to other people?
No, self-image is how you look to yourself, by definition. The only basis that you have of that is you compare with other people. So, you know, you want to be able to play golf like Tiger Woods, or if you're a woman, you want to look like Angelina Jolie, or, you know, some other horseshit. And it's just, remember when we studied the Lord's Prayer, it says, hallowed be thy name. Well, you don't hallow his name in you if there's the slightest concern for your condition. It is abject rebellion. Does anybody understand?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, your purpose, my purpose in being is to be of use to God, not God to be of use to me. And I'm to be able to speak a fit word at the appropriate time. I mean, it's just there's all kinds of descriptions about what being of use to God is. And if he will decide where he wants me, who he wants me with, what circumstances he wants me in. All I have to do is respond. Just get out of the way and he'll respond. But any shaping of that stone, any trying to cut that stone to make an altar makes it.
Let's go to Matthew 8. I'm sorry, Mark 8. What am I thinking about? Verse 34. And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Now, again, you've heard me talk about this 1,000 times. The word here, deny, is aprodiomai. And it means total 100% abandonment of self. No thought of or about or for yourself, you or yours, or anything about you. It's an abandonment. Now, this is huge. Because you're hardwired, because of the curse, to do these stupid, idiotic things. You compare yourself and wonder about yourself, and you try to do this, and you try to do that. We all do it. Hopefully, we've stopped doing it. You dye your beard.
You put up a lot of shit when you do.
You know, it's... You press your Levi's.
Nobody does that.
And your nose.
The whole process is one of seeing from the bottom up instead of from the top down. We must begin to see and hear. Again, we have senses for a reason. What we hear is what we see. What we see is what we do. That's why the obeying is observed to do. But we get in this miasma of self-image, and am I doing the right thing, and how am I appearing to other people, and blah, 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 blah. And we are so far away from the mystery of God that it's not even, you can't even find it. Now, and again, religion makes it even worse because, you know, then now you've got a whole other bunch of crap that you have to do. And so you appear spiritual and holy. You know, when I was in the charismatic movement, I mean, my God, they were using praise as punctuation marks. Brother Ole, how are you today? It just made me sick to my stomach. We've got to leave all that behind because it's all corruption. And it's all right. Let's go 1 Corinthians 13.
Let me say one thing here about when you read that about deny yourself. I saw the same thing as repentance. It's the same issue. It's not denying yourself per event that takes place. It's the denial that enters into the no time zone.
Right.
And it's a one time thing. But that's only by the grace of God that you see that.
You can't see it unless you see, unless you're honest, have some integrity with yourself. All right.
Oh, Ole, I've been listening very intently to what you've been saying. And there's one thing that I do on occasion, and I hear other people do, and it doesn't drive me crazy, but it's such an example of how we worry about what other people think about us, or what we even. Or what we say, even when we're polite. And I used to say, I'm sorry. When I hear that at times, I go, gosh, people only hurt themselves. It's like, I'm sorry. And it's just for the most mundane things where you really haven't offended anybody or hurt anybody or even at all. And it's just the insecurity or our preoccupation with
self.
Being sensitive.
All right, 1 Corinthians 13. We're not going to read the whole thing, but in verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come or is revealed, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became an adult, I put away, I divorced all of these childish things. Now, all the stuff we're talking about self-image and this and that and blah, 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 is all it's carnal. It's at best. And it's time to put it away, to divorce it. Now, the problem is that, again, in marriage, because the spouse is always going to be concerned about your self-image. But it's really about their self-image because you're their spouse. Now, remember, we got to take a side trip. Go to Galatians a minute. Before we go back here, keep your finger there. Galatians 6, verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Did I quote that right? Now, what does that mean? Remember, to be circumcised, the word itself in Greek, and I don't remember what it is right now, but it just means to stop doing something. To cut it off, to stop. And that's how it got applied to the real circumcision. But this is why a helpmeet or your your spouse is your companion antagonist, because they're always going to say, wash the dishes, stop doing that, stop doing this.
Are you really going to wear that?
Are you really going to wear that?
He says, you're not going to wear that.
But the point of it is that is the test, because the test is to see if that person that is so near and dear sometimes can pull you off the mercy seat.
I just got a really, really sick, sinking feeling. But at this late stage in life, I find myself an old bachelor, and I'm thinking, well, I don't have a helpmate. Well, yes, I do, evidently.
All right.
What does that mean? Is that a confession?
The whole walk is to see if there's anything that can pull you off the mercy, can bring you back into time and space, can take you away from abandonment of self, and you'll blame your spouse. But that's not, that proves there's no love. It's faith that worketh by love, or love that worketh by faith. And so whatever the thing is, that it's like, I don't know how to even explain this. I don't even know how to describe it. You can say to them, you should stop being concerned with appearance, and you should stop telling me how I should look or not look. But that's then you've missed the whole point of the process, because it's somebody else's fault that you've gotten off the mercy seat.
You're just trying to escape.
So the whole issue here, they're supposed to be the companion antagonist. See if that antagonism can pull you away from the mercy seat. And that's the whole meaning of it. Oh, you can say, well, you shouldn't act like that, or they shouldn't, or they're doing this wrong. Anytime you see somebody doing something that you think is wrong, what has happened? You've been deceived. And it never stops. You understand me? Everybody that has ever worked in the office, Harry was convinced that in some way they were in an alliance or in a conspiracy to hurt him.
No.
I mean, we could go down the list. Now, who do you think somebody's trying to hurt you? No. It's the Holy Spirit seeing if something can take you away from the mercy seat.
If somebody does challenge you, you should just say, is that all you got?
Give me.
Or take your best shot.
That's it. You just don't like this outfit.
Missed it by.
Can you imagine if we had Judy marrying Wade?
Oh.
I have no reason to imagine.
I have no reason. I love it.
Yeah, God won't put on us anything more we can bear.
I was talking about Wade being the evil one there. All right, okay. So they constrain you to be. How many times over the years have people apologized for me? It's legion. No.
Well, Lee, I couldn't resist what you were saying about Judy and Wade. That really struck a chord with me. Sorry.
Jeff, try to keep it down.
What's happening?
Never mind. Don't even ask.
I thought he was going to make a bad pun.
He did. Really bad.
Really bad.
Okay. Those that desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. that constrain you to change, lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Is that, you fully understand it, Harry? All right. Now let's go back to where were we before? 1 Corinthians 13. We were in Galatians. Now we're going back to 1 Corinthians 13.
This table has got it. We're done. We're done.
Ronnie beat you a mile.
I've been here for way back with here. The help meet shit.
Ronnie was here all morning.
Never left.
You
can't say meet shit.
Meet shit.
When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, which describes everything that has gone on in here today. But when I became an adult, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now, we see through a glass darkly because we still see our reflection. As a Gentile, or as a normal human being, everything is, how does this affect me? What does this mean to me? Well, how can I use it? How should I avoid it? But as in spirit, the darkness, the silver nitrate is taken off the back of the glass so that now you see face to face. And there's no more looking at what does this mean to me. No matter how intimate it is, you don't take it to yourself. Now, I believe that the only way you take the back off the glass so that it's no longer a mirror is by repentance down to the deepest core of your being. And the Holy Spirit, I promise you, will constantly bring up things that you are tempted to attack about, but God is showing you that's a place for deeper and deeper and deeper repentance. So that the purpose, the goal, is so that nothing in time and space can take you off that mercy seat. No matter what, again, remember when we first started my prayer, to the world, the devil, and the flesh, take your best shot. Now that, therefore, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How can that be? Because you know that you know that you know you can glory in affliction, because the affliction is revealing that place in you where there still remaineth idolatry or unforgiveness or goals or the whole nine yards, until finally there is nothing in time and space that can take you off that mercy seat. Now that's the purpose of time and space, the antagonism. Now, the purpose of time and space, now you see in this context why this prosperity gospel, it covers all the bases, because it's the ultimate of self-realization in the name of God, as opposed to the totality of emptying yourself. So any self-image I have absolutely no patience for, especially in me. Does that communicate? So there can't be a self-image debt. If there's any kind of a debt internally, Kayla wasn't going to come this morning because she was afraid I was going to say something that would cause her something. I don't know what. But the point of it is, this is total freedom when you are rid of the self-image debt. Owe no man anything, including yourself. Capisce? Otherwise, you're just tossed to and fro constantly. Well, I'm up and I'm down and I'm... Okay, let's go to another one. Let's go to, let's in the same context, go to James chapter 1.
Probably when you're talking about the suffering of death, so many times I feel that that's manifested in me with my quiet anger and unforgiveness of myself.
Of course.
Which is probably the worst.
It's the sneakiest, anyway. I'm not sure it's the worst, but it's certainly the sneakiest.
That too.
No, it's you're faced with the reality that you're constantly an assassin, not with the with a open knife, but with the hidden assassin sword, because something always wrong. Stick them. All right, James 1. Verse 22. Everybody there? I wish you all could be like Ronnie.
Oh, no. Thank you. We aspire to be like Ronnie.
Yeah.
And Sweet Pete. You got to think up a new response to that, Pete. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This one is the one of those conundrums, because we think, okay, I got to do. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And listen. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's why if you ever think you're doing something right, you're not. Because you're beholding your natural face in the glass still, instead of seeing through to see his glorious liberty everywhere. You think that something you are doing is creating a sense of rightness in you. And so you are a hearer of the word only and not a doer. Because it is impossible for the human being to be a doer of the word without the cross, without his death. And listen, if you be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So you get it. Oh man, that's good. I see something. Hallelujah. And then 5 minutes later, I forgot. And that's why I'm so sick unto death of philosophizing about the meaning of Scripture. What does this mean to me? This is the way I hear it. Am I offending anybody a little bit, Gary? All right. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Do you understand? This whole thing is about a mirror. And mirror is made normally. I don't know what they make them now, but what they did with original mirrors, they had a piece of glass, which is sand heated until you can see through it. And what happened? And then they found out that if they put silver on the back of the glass, it was a mirror. Hallelujah. Now we have to take the silver off the glass, so that wherever we look, we see that it's finished. We see that it's perfect. We see that you have been perfected by one offering. You cannot improve on imperfection And if the gift of God is eternal life, what more could you want? Perfection and eternity. There's no more. Peace. Well, we'll talk some more about that when Joyce Ann isn't here, so I don't feel like she's screaming at me internally for going over. Anybody have any response? Can you sense a freedom in this? Will you never again have to think about what somebody's thinking of you or how you appear to anybody? You just be. Amen?
Yeah. I didn't talk about it, but I thought it was, to me, self-image, concern with self-image is because of the fear of death or separation.
It's so probably a component, but
if
not.
If I don't meet a standard, if I'm not acceptable to the God of this world, then I'm worthless. I'll be cast aside.
So. It's another subject, but. Take a big guy.